If you will, turn your Bibles to Mark 13. Mark 13. We'll begin there this morning. I'm just going to use the microphone, if it's okay, without the supplemental. And if there's a problem, Michael, you can turn it up a little bit. And everybody here okay? Okay. With the blur of November and December, we tend to come at an abrupt time in our lives where we see that the end of the year is past and we're already in the new year. And many a time we sit down and we start using this time to reflect back on the past year. And we begin looking at budgets and plans for the new year. Many times we look at the things that we did wrong, the mistakes that we made, maybe in our business or in our time, and we say, this year is going to be different. We're going to do better this year. And I believe that most of the time, those plans that we make have to do with our monetary efforts, our business efforts, maybe even those things that we like to do on vacation, and I would like to see this person, or I would like to go visit these people, and let's plan our year out. And if you're like me, even your New Year's resolutions, when it comes to some of your personal things that you strive to change, here it is the 5th, and I've already broken some of mine. But what I thought I would do this morning is I want us to think, and most of us are Christians here, I want us to think about what is most important about changes that we need to put into our lives. I believe that most of the time we don't put our plans for serving God first. And that is the most important thing we can do. So to begin this morning, I want to read a few verses of Mark. I will be covering several verses. If you want to take a pen and write the verses down, I'll be reading through them very quickly. Hopefully at the end of the lesson, you will be able to leave here and remember this lesson, the outline of this lesson, for the rest of your lives. That is my goal. Hopefully it will be something that will help you to concentrate and remember God on a daily basis, and help us in our growth to do what we just sang, and that's to become closer to God in our lives. Growth, if it's not present in our life, means that we're dying, and we can't afford to do that spiritually. I want to look at Mark 13, 33 through 37. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as the man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at the midnight or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. The word watch is mentioned several times in this few verses. The first watch that is mentioned in verse 33 is that watch that would be related to sleeplessness. To sleeplessness. And so he makes the statement, take heed. In other words, be very careful. Stay awake and pray. If I stopped right there, that would be a lesson in itself. Stay awake and pray. Be careful. But at the end, the rest of the verses, at the end, Jesus ends with just this statement, watch. And the word watch there means to give strict attention, to be very cautious. He makes the statement, he gives the example of the porter, if you see, at the door. And this porter is told to watch, to be careful. Be careful and cautious of who you let in the door. And that's what I want us to talk about today. How we need to watch our own selves to make sure that we don't let Satan into our lives. The first thing I want us to think about is our words. In Colossians 4:6, it said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of your mouth, of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." This is David speaking. "Who is my strength and my redeemer." Do we stop and pause before we reply and think that God is witnessing everything I'm about to say? I think it would be good if we make a habit of that. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to be used of edifying, that it may minister unto the hearers." Do the things that you say, are they good that the people, the hearers, are they good that they, are they the type of things that would build up someone that you're speaking to? Our words do not need to be vain words. They don't need to be worthless words. 1 John 3:18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither just in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Don't say things like we talked about in our class one time. Don't just say, "If you need anything, let me know." But find out what they need and help the person. Show your true love that's Christ in us. Ephesians 5. Let's flip over to that and look at that. You can read all this on your own, but we'll look at just a few highlights of verse 6 through 12. "Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And then in verse 11, he says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And I want you to notice this verse here, because I'm afraid that we get in bad habits with this. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Like I mentioned before, when I was being raised, my dad was very careful about speaking certain things of actions of people that were sinning in the presence of his children. And we never heard the word divorce. That was not used in our home until we got older in years. And when somebody was going through problems, that was discussed in a closed door, away from the children. But he goes further than just something like that. He said, "Don't even discuss those things that people do in secret." I'm afraid a lot of times you hear people speak very graphically on things that people speak, people do, their actions. As Christians, as a holy person, we need to be exempt from those things. We need to only keep those things on our tongues that are fruitful. Those things that can teach and edify. Number two, we need to be careful about our actions. And when I say actions, I'm not talking about just the way we drive, the way we get upset at a ball game, when somebody does something, whatever we do. But I'm talking about our true walk, our way of life. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Do you delight in the Lord's way? Do you say, "I am so glad that I'm able to do what he wants me to do"? We talked about that word good in one of of our studies. It means to be healthy spiritually. All things that God gives to us are to be healthy spiritually. He wants us to be good. I'm afraid that through the years, that through our teaching and preaching and our speaking and raising children up, we spend most of our time telling people what they can't do. And you can't do this, and you can't do that. And what we tend to do is we don't understand that the reason we can't do it is not because our parents said, you can't do it. But we shouldn't want to do it. We want to please God in everything we do. Proverbs 3, 6 and 7. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Be not wise in your own eyes, but turn away from evil. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of your time, because the days are evil. Look over at Proverbs 2. I want us to read that together. To me, these are some of the most beautiful words that are written. And I think if we can memorize these words, it would probably be good for us. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Isn't that beautiful? That's the desire that we should have. Number three, we need to guard and watch our thoughts. Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if they be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Romans 12:2 tells us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. That's what we need to do. We need to protect our thoughts. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 5, Jesus says that if a man looketh upon a woman to lust, he has committed adultery in his heart. But Job 31, I'd like to look at that real quickly. Look, everybody turn to Job 31. I think this is a good example of what he's talking about here in Matthew. Job 31, verses 1 through 6. I made a covenant with my eyes. You know, when you became a Christian, you made a covenant with God. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then shall I look upon a maid? Some translations say a virgin. For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot has to deceit, let me be weighed in the even balance, that God may know my integrity. Have a dear friend of mine and I were walking during the holidays a while back, but in this past holiday. And I remember that it was a nice, beautiful day, and people tend not to put on any clothes anymore, as you notice when you're walking through towns. And there was a couple young ladies that had sat down on one of the benches where we walked by that were naked, according to the scriptures. And I remember as we walked, we were talking, actually talking about the Bible. And as he was on my right side and the young lady's from left, as I was walking, I noticed he pulled his hand up and turned his head. And I said to him, I said, what happened? He said, well, I don't think a Christian should look, you know. And it made an impact on me. You know, I asked him about that later, and he said, I don't want anybody coming between me and my thoughts and my why. I thought that was beautiful. Proverbs 3:1. Forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. And if you go on down to 19 through 26, if you want to write this down for time's sake, we'll just summarize it. We've got to understand that our confidence should always be in our Lord. That's where our confidence should be. Next, we need to be watchful for our companions, the type of people that we run around with. You know, I'm afraid that the unrighteous live every day, like Paul talked about when he said, if there is no resurrection, to eat, drink, and be merry. They don't think about what's going to happen at the end. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 says, but the unrighteous shall not inherit the earth. You know, what do we have why would we want to be with non-Christians all the day? Why do we want to hang with non-Christians? Why do we want to hang with those that are unrighteous, that think unrighteous? Why not strive to be with the holy people? James 4:4. Whosoever shall be a friend of the world, I want you to think about these two little words here, is an enemy of God. A friend of the world is an enemy of God. Psalms 26:3-4. I have not said, now think about David. I think about all the things David did that were wrong, but this is so true of David. He said, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with the dissemblers, or the hypocrites, as some translations say. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will not sit with the wicked. Why sit and listen to the wicked? Psalm 139:63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and that keep thy precepts. Can we say that? Is that the kind of companions we want to run around with? Proverbs 13:20. He who walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. And Proverbs 4:14-15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And pass away. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of when the young prophet, you remember, went to see Jeroboam to tell him the prophecy of Josiah coming, you know, nearly 300 years later. And what did God tell him to do? I don't want you to eat with him. I don't want you to drink with him. In fact, the way that you go to tell him what's going to happen, I don't want you to even come back that way. I want you to go a different way. Don't be familiar with that area. Don't be familiar with the influence of sin. You know, a neat thing, or you might want to study it on your own, but in Ezekiel, when the ideal temple was discussed there, the Bible says that, I believe it's in the latter chapters, maybe chapter 45, somewhere around there. He says that when you come to the temple, if you enter into the southern gate, when you leave, don't go back that way. Go out the northern gate. And when you come in, if you enter into the northern gate, don't go out that way. You go out the southern gate. Leave it behind you. When you leave it, you go out a better person. And that's what we have to do in our lives. Sometimes friends have to be pushed away because we grasp hold of Christ. And lastly, we could have went several different ways on this one, but I thought we need to guard our heart. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you the will and to do his good pleasure." That should be our desire, to please God in all things. Mark 7:21 says, "It's out of the heart that proceeds evil." So what do we put in the heart? Should we read some of the things that we read? Should we watch things that we watch? You know, when we get familiar with things, if things become where it doesn't bother us, then I think that should be a red flag to all of us. We need to be concerned about that. Matthew 22:37, Jesus says, "But love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Psalms 90:12 says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean upon your own understanding." Colossians 3:2-5 says, "Set your affections on things above, not the things that are on earth." And he goes on and talks about other things. But in that context there, he's saying, please, try to please God in everything. Look to God. Have that vertical relationship we spoke about before. And make that the primary relationship that you have in life. Proverbs 4:20-23 said, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. And let them not depart from thy eyes." Do you read the scriptures on a daily basis? Do you meditate on them? Do you think about them? Do you let them influence your lives? He says, "Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 23:26. He says, "Give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." So many times we make excuses for what we do. Well, they did it. This person's supposed to be good and they did it. But what does he say? Look at it through my eyes. Look at it through my ways. In Psalm 139, which we won't take the time to read, but we all know, we're familiar with these scriptures, 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any grievous ways in me. And lead me to life everlasting." I want you to think about that verse for just a second. Do you feel like that you're where you need to be, that you can truly look God in the face and say, "Search me, Lord. You're not going to find anything wrong with me." We don't need to become familiar with the world. But we need to, on a daily basis, not just at the end of the year, to work daily, as Christ says, to pick up that cross, take up thy cross, and follow me. Turn to Romans 1. We'll bring the lesson to a close here. Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." That word "made" there, I don't know if you've ever studied that, but that word is only used, it's translated "made" there two times in the Testament. one time here. And it's the Greek word poema. Poema. Which comes, is the word, English word comes from that word, poem. Now, when you think of a poem, you think of rhythm, you think of rhyme, you think of symmetry, you think of uniformity. It's a thought that is spoken of in several words, but it's pointing to one thrust of thought. And that's what the creation does. When we go out here and we see trees grow and the leaves change and fall and come back again, that's poetry. That's poetry in motion. God's poetry. Now let's look over Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That word there is translated workmanship. That's the same word. For we are his poetry. We are his poem. Can God look down on us as we leave today and see us going out to the world and be in unity and symmetry with his will? That's what we need to try to do. That's the things that we need to strive to do on a daily basis. So, if you were to write a piece of paper, the outline of this lesson, remember the last word that Jesus said. Watch. Words. Actions. Thoughts. Companions. Heart. You should never be able to forget that. This lesson was designed for non-Christians. But we would like to say if there's anything that we can do at this time as we sing this song of invitation, we pray that you'll come down and let us help you.